Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Nice one. Thank you. We couldn't resist using that song because it's the beginning of this four-week series on the hero's journey, and that's perfect because, yeah, we can be heroes. So often, we put this idea of heroes onto someone else, right? Superheroes or someone that's done something remarkable in their lives or exceptional. But the good news for all of us is, as spiritual beings, we're all heroes on our own life journey, right? And because we have the Spirit within us, we can do also remarkable and amazing things, yeah? So often we condition ourselves to thinking, no, not me. But this whole four-week series is about giving the lie to that, actually, and saying that is not the truth. I can be a hero. In fact, I am a hero in my own life's journey. And so the four parts of it follow this cycle. It's like a circle. And, you know, it's not a one-time thing. We're continually beginning and going through the whole cycle and coming to that conclusion, and then we begin again. In fact, we can be at different parts of the cycle all during the week, right? Depending on how we wake up one day. For instance, first of all, we have to leave. We have to leave our conditioned existence. We have to risk. And that's what I want to talk about today. But having left, when we are always tested, and that's not always the part we like. You know, we're tested because God wants to see if we're ready to receive the gift. And unless you pass the test, unless you're willing to embrace something larger, right? Unless you go through what appears to be death, you cannot be reborn. You cannot transform. If we do have the courage to do that, we receive the gift. The gift could come in many ways and many forms, but it's always the gift of some kind of new understanding that we are then called to bring back, to return to our world, to bring back into our world and put it into practice, right? So that's the hero's journey. And in any given week, you know, I'm at the beginning of something, because every day, folks, is a new day, isn't it? A new beginning. Every day I am being tested, amen? Often I am receiving a gift, even though sometimes I can't see it. And that's part of reframing, because some gifts come in interesting disguises, right? They seem to come as curses, but they are actually gifts. They're blessings. And then the most important thing is, once we've received it, we have to put it into practice. We have to pay it forward, to give back in order that we can be fulfilled. Because if we keep it all to ourselves, it's useless, right? The first law in spirit is give it away. Because how does God give? Abundantly, profligately, right? Gives it away all the time, because God knows this limitless good. So giving it away is being part of the flow. We cannot use it up. So let's talk about leaving. Leaving is the new beginning, isn't it? It's the call to adventure. But what are we leaving? We are leaving our comfort zone, our lower self, our conditioned existence, the way it's supposed to be, yeah? The our belief that I am a three-dimensional human being, and it's understanding that I am more than that, right? So I want to leave that for something greater. So often, though, we resist that call to leave for many years. Why? Fear. Okay. Maybe it will be worse if I leave, you know? At least the devil I know, rather than what's lying for me out there in the unknown. So sometimes we won't do it because we're afraid. Our ego wants to stay stuck. What else? Comfort. It's comforting, isn't it? It's comfort to know that with the familiar things, we think they're going to be there forever, right? Until the person dies or the divorce comes or the house burns down or whatever it is. And we realize that all those comforting things weren't really very permanent in the first place. Second question, if those are the things that keeps us stuck, what gets us going? What gets us unstuck? What gets us beyond and willing to leave and do something new? What? Hope, okay, yeah, maybe a hope. But what actual nitty-gritty thing is going to do it? Because I'm going to be hoping for years, you know, oh man, I hope this works out. I hope it works out, baby. I don't know how it's going to work. You know, yeah, the hope doesn't have much action to it often, you know. But what impels, I agree with you, but what impels our action? What is it that actually does it? Desire for change. We fear, we know that the risk of change is less than the pain of staying stuck, right? It's got so bad that we have to do something, right? So that impels us often. It also, there's sometimes a yearning within us. We know that we are more than physical, limited human beings. We know intuitively. And here's the thing. Joseph Campbell wrote this wonderful book. It's been published many times. I think Bill Moyers did a special series on it with the author, Joseph Campbell, Hero with a Thousand Faces, right? And his message is, of course, this idea of the hero with a thousand faces. There's many myths, there's many psychological archetypes out there, but ultimately there is only one hero, that's each of us, right? All these myths represent all of us. And you could read the book and say, man, this guy knows a whole lot about all mythology. He's an expert. I need to go to this book to find my truth. Wrong. The truth is where? And we have to trust our own intuitive knowledge of the journey, right? So often we put ourselves to sleep because we say, oh, well, the expert knows everything. I don't. Great to read the book. I love the book. But it's no substitute for knowing the truth. I was talking to my wife, Wendy, yesterday, and we were in the car, and I said, well, I'm going to do something on Joseph Campbell. You know all about Joseph Campbell, don't you? And she said, no, I'm not really. I don't know that much about him. And then I began to share about the hero's journey, and she said it all beautifully, everything, without ever having read the book, because she's lived life and studied and known and has life experiences. See, that's beautiful. I said, you don't really need to read the book. You know it all already. And I think that's true for all of us. We have to trust our own intuition as to where, because we've all been on a journey, yeah? We've all been on this journey of leaving and discovering and understanding wonderful and new things. What else impels us? The yearning, the greater pain of staying stuck. What else? What? The prize. We know there's going to be a gift that comes, right? We know that there's something that's going to bless us. And that's been true in my life. When I've dared to step out and I've received something wonderful, it may not be a thing, but it's definitely an idea and an understanding, then it gives me greater ability to trust the process, right? To step out again. Because I know that no matter what, God is always going to be there for me. You know, many of us in Unity have stepped out of other church traditions, right? Because in some ways, they haven't met our needs, and they don't really speak to us. And so we've come to Unity to find something that's a way of life and not just an observance on Sunday. I know I have. I've stepped out of my childhood faith because it wasn't meaningful to me. Not to knock that faith. If it means something for somebody else, that's great. But you have to have the courage of leaving to discover something new. You'll never find the new, right? Never show up for you until you're willing to leave the old. That's the basic message here. Get this too. It doesn't have to be a life-changing thing to leave. For instance, to step out in an adventure, it can be a very seemingly minor thing. For instance, as an example, maybe there's a person in our lives that we've still got some forgiveness work to do with. Maybe we haven't said, I love you. Maybe there's someone we really should have reached out to, but we just haven't for one reason, yeah? That could be an adventure. That can be leaving, right? I'm leaving the fear of not connecting in case I'm rejected, and I'm willing to do that work. I'm willing to risk and say, I love you. I'm willing to forgive. Because the power of doing that is tremendous. We will receive a gift from doing that, right? So leaving can be something as simple as that. Unfinished business. And I think I'm going to begin to finish this week. What about that? That can be powerful too. But Jesus, obviously it was a yearning, wasn't it? When he was 12 years old and they went to Jerusalem, he left. He left home. He stayed there. He didn't go back with mommy and daddy. And they were searching all around for him. You know, they were really annoyed. He was only 12 years old. And then he was famously sitting down, chatting with the wise men, with the teachers, and said those immortal words, "I am about my father's business." Which father? Not Joseph. Oh, the Lord, the Spirit, the truth, right? He was about that. And in truth, that's the statement that our heart is saying to all of us, isn't it? The heart within us is saying, I must be about my father's business. I must be about Spirit's business. I'm not wasted time. I like the idea that God is not static. God is unfolding just as we are, right? God is endlessly in process. In fact, Alfred North Whitehead wrote a wonderful book about that, process theology, the idea that we're on a journey with God. In fact, we are taking God on a journey, right? Because we are God in expression. And so, you know, God is constantly waiting for you to do something wonderful. Because I've seen the boring bit, says God. Come on, do something wonderful. Don't waste this opportunity. I gave you life. I gave you spirit within humanness. Do something remarkable. And here you are, you know, doing the same old thing day after day. We don't want to be boring God anymore, folks. God needs excitement. He wants you to be fully alive, joyful, full of that possibility. That's part of the hero's journey. And the more we say, I'm not a hero, God goes, oh, please, please, you are. Now, I've anthropomorphized God here, okay? He's not really a being on the cloud looking down on us, getting miffed because we're wasting our time. But I think that spirit within us is sometimes saying that. How long are you going to be waiting, you know, before we take off here? Isn't it time to start flying? Amen. Yeah, that's right. You know, that's the case of the Buddha. You know, the Buddha was cocooned for 29 years by his dad because his dad was afraid that if he saw things that weren't nice, he wouldn't be a good little heir to the throne and inherit the kingdom. Something might happen. And so he kept him from seeing everything bad and cocooned him in pleasure. You know, talk about a comfort zone. But he had a yearning to break free, you know, because he wanted to see something different. It was stultifying him, actually. And so he snuck out of the palace on four successive occasions. And each time when Dad knew that he was leaving, he tried to keep it all nice, you know, swept the streets and everything, got the nasty people out of the way, you know, etc. But on the first time out, he saw a sick person. You know, that shocked him because he'd never seen sickness in the palace. Then the second time he saw old age. Well, it was only beautiful young things in the reality show that was the palace. And then the third time he saw death, or a dead person. And then the fourth time he saw a monk, and he said, who is this? And his companion said, this is a person who's trying to understand what the heck's going on. He said, I want to be one of those. So sometimes the stultifying nature will jerk us into new activity, right? New understanding. And of course, for the Buddha, where did it lead? It led to his enlightenment, his awareness as a fully awake being. But it began through dissatisfaction with his lot, no matter how comfortable and pleasurable it was, you know, because life is not just about pleasure, is it? Life is not just about indulgence, although I love to indulge myself. Yeah, you know, what's outside? What's outside? And like Parker said, you know, if we don't do it, if we keep resisting, then life will come after us, right? Life will grab us by the throat and pull us through because God doesn't want to see us stuck, you know? And we say, oh my, why is this happening to me? Guess why? To wake us up, yeah. We've created, self-created that situation so that we have a choice point. Do I see it as the end or do I see it as a new beginning, right? There's always a guide that comes to us, by the way, when we dare to step out. It can be a book. Have you ever had a book fall off a shelf into your hands? That's happened once for me. It just literally fell off a shelf into my hands. Really changed my life reading that book. It can be a mentor, literal mentor, a person that comes into your life. We've all had those, I think. Yeah, that gave us courage to keep on this path. It can be a new insight. It can be a psychic experience, a supernatural experience. It can come in all forms because God can move in mysterious ways, right? Miraculously, marvelously. But there's always a guardian to guide us towards the threshold. Now, yeah. We educate them. Right.
That's one of the cool things about being with the YFM and the kids, because they're ready for it.
There we go.
He's kind of got to keep up with it.
And, you know, in Unity, I think we do a good job of that, of stepping outside of the box, right? And not having dogma and ritual that we have to follow because we know there's something greater. A lot of this is how we choose to show up for the adventures that come to us, right? Because so often, if we're going to be in our humanness and our fear, we're going to label them as problems and difficulties. And what did the Golden Key say? Take your mind off the problem and put it on God. The situation may be the same, but you're no longer seeing it as a problem. You're seeing it as a possibility, right? There's a huge difference that comes when we can do that in a life experience. Silly but telling example was yesterday. I was over there celebrating my birthday with my daughter and granddaughter. We were having a great time. And we came back. We'd eaten earlier, and we were a little bit hungry. So we decided to go to a restaurant in Arlington, okay? Well, as soon as we walked in and ordered, there was a power surge. And the power surge knocked all the electricity out. It knocked the fans out. It knocked the vent hood out. It knocked the grill out. It knocked everything out. Next thing we know, the kitchen is white. It's got that smoke in there. You know? And every time they open it, the smoke's coming out at us. There's no air conditioning because that went down too. Okay. When the food came, it wasn't to our liking. It wasn't fully cooked. So, and then they started to say, you got to leave, et cetera, et cetera. So I could say, you know, this is my birthday dinner. How dare you do this? How dare the kitchen explode? But instead of that, we had an adventure. You know, it was fun. It was real fun. How many people could say that the kitchen exploded on their birthday dinner? You know, and they comped the food, luckily. So it was all good, you know. So it's a question of reframing. Is it a terrible thing that happened, or am I going to reframe it as part of this call to adventure? Life is an adventure. We can make fun of it. We can have laughs. And we had a good time with our waiter, and all was well. So it doesn't have to be a problem. Before I get to right to the end, to the threshold, right, where we go from leaving to the next phase of the hero's journey, I want to share a story about that because there's something special that happens at the threshold. What have we learned so far? We are called to step out on any given day, right? Not to settle. God doesn't settle. God is endlessly inquiring and creating new and wondrous things. And we are still discovering them on the planet, you know? They're discovering species every day that we didn't know existed because God is profligate. God is probably creating new species for us to discover. It's not that we've, you know, they're out there already. God says, oh, I think they've got everything now. Let's create some more stuff. Seriously, I think this can happen, right? So that's the first thing. We are called to step out. What else? When we do, how? It has to be action, doesn't it? We can have all the hope and all the love and all the faith that we want in essence, but we have to do something. We have to step out. We have to do that, make that phone call to that person. First step, right step, right step in the right direction. Sometimes, folks, we step in the wrong direction trying to get away from the newness of life. Jonah did, you know. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh to speak to the people and tell them to repent so they could come back to God. Jonah didn't want to do that because he hated the Ninevites. And the last thing he was going to do was be kind to them, you know. So instead of going to Nineveh, where did he go? The other direction, as far as he could, away from Nineveh. And, of course, he got on a boat. Things didn't go well on the boat. He fell off the boat. He was pushed, but that's another story. And he ended up in the belly of the whale, right? And so he's in the belly of the whale gestating for a while. And sometimes that happens, folks. This is what Park is referring to as well. When you resist, God persists in telling you the lesson, you know. He'll put you in the belly of a whale. You know, you'll feel overwhelmed, swallowed up. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what to do, right? But God is looking after you in those moments of our own weakness, our own overwhelm. That's the good news. God is with you in the whale's belly. And eventually, after 3 days and three nights, symbolically, he spews you out. And when you come out, then there's another question. Where are you going to go now? Oh, I better go to Nineveh. Because we learn eventually to obey God, right? To obey the higher calling. We know it to be the truth for us. We can run, but we can't hide. And eventually, but the good news for me is, even when we made the mistake and went the whole wrong direction, God was still with us. God was wrapping us around in an interesting blanket of stomach tissue. So if you've been wrapped around in an interesting blanket of stomach tissue this week, know that God loves you. There's nothing but the best for you. And you have to be willing to accept it. Amen. There's not much you can do, you know, with all that slime around you. But you will be spewed forth eventually. So that's the good news. You will come out the other side. Have perseverance, right? Keep the other side. Yeah, no, we're not on the other side. He stayed in the stomach, dude. If he'd gone down there, that would have been curtains, but I think we've milked this analogy a little. Okay, thank you. Moving on. Last thing I want to say is, when you've persevered, when you've done some work and you've been willing to leave your comfort zone and you're ready to take on the new thing, you reach the threshold of the known to the unknown, right? When you're really off into and it's like the fool in the tarot reading, right? The fool is number zero in the tarot deck because he represents all possibility. And that fool, in the traditional pictures, he's walking across the abyss. She is walking across the abyss. It could be male or female. And there's a dog, a companion dog with that person. But the message is you're stepping out over the abyss. You're willing to go across the threshold into total newness. Because the reality is we don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes anyway, right? We are at the threshold right now. And sometimes, always at the threshold, there is the guardian of the threshold who is there to test our willingness and our decisiveness, right? And sometimes that test comes as a no. In the East, you know, when a novice comes to a monastery and he opens the door and they say, "What are you doing here? I want to be a monk." They say, "No, go away." And sometimes they'll leave you out there for a day and a night, and then they'll open the door again. If you're gone, well, you weren't ready. But if you're there, they say, "Come on. Come on in." It's a test, right, to see if our resolve is strong enough. Sometimes people leave churches, do you know that? Because it's not perfect there. There's human beings there in that church. I don't want to stay there. They don't walk their talk. But the thing is, it's not about being perfect, is it? It's about being willing to follow the process, right? When things don't work out the way we'd like, then there's opportunity. But instead of running away from it, we say, "Oh, it's showing up in a disguise here, but there's something wondrous that can happen here. I can call forth greater compassion in my life because of that seeming resistance. I can draw forth courage and trust of my own inner nature. No, it's right for me to be here right now to work this process. And I'll tell a story and then I'll finish for today. When I was 24, I went to India and my father dropped me off at the motorway and I hitchhiked to Brussels because I was visiting a friend from college there. And I just ended a 4.5-year relationship with someone. And when I was in Brussels, we went out to this forest and we talked for a while. And I told him about, oh, it's going to be great. I'm going to have such an adventure in India. And then I started bemoaning and moaning about my relationship that had died. And he turned to me and he said, you are the most self-indulgent person I've ever met. Except he didn't use the word person, okay? But it was really nasty. He really hurt me. And it was the best thing he could have ever said, you know? Because he was the guy, I realize now, he was the guardian of the threshold. He was the person who was willing to be totally real and authentic with me and get me out of my comfort zone, get me out of my feeling, oh, I've got it all worked out, and was totally honest so that I could then have a great journey. And if that hadn't happened, I don't think I could have successfully gone through that threshold experience and experienced all I did later on. Of course, there were many more tests along the road. But that was such a wonderful thing. Didn't he do such a great job? We've never spoken since, but that's not the point. He finished his work with me. And it was bye-bye, and that's okay. And I have tried to find him since, but it's, you know, I've never been able to find him. Like some friends I reconnected with. But it doesn't matter, because that was of incalculable blessing to me that he had the guts to say that. And that's what we need on the spiritual path. So whenever something comes along that doesn't seem to be so cool, know that it's all part of God's greater blessing for us. So that's part one of the hero's journey. Next week, we'll look at what happens beyond the threshold, all right? Amen. So we take time in meditation to simply ask ourselves, what does it mean for me to be a hero in my life's journey? And I believe it means that we are willing to acknowledge that we are spiritual beings with all the gifts, powers, and potentialities of spirit. That our life is unique to us. And therefore of incalculable worth for us and for God. And God delights in every moment that we choose expansion, choose to move beyond limits, comfort zones, choose not to be defensive when the guardian of the threshold confronts us. And so we ask ourselves, what can I do to put action to this wonderful idea that I am a hero stepping forth on this journey of life? The old truism is that just showing up, just being present, is a huge part of the solution. And so we can be present today. We can be present to the people we meet this week. We can be present to someone we've ignored. We can be present to the awkward parts that we don't want to look at. And if any of these things, any of these ways that offer themselves to us are taken, then that guardian, that guide shows up, offers further encouragement. We drop the idea into our consciousness right now that some way, somehow, this week, a person, a book, an idea, a conversation, an awareness, an experience will come to us that is the exact right thing we need at this particular time in our lives. We send that seed into our inner being so that it can germinate and grow, bring to us our good. Right now, we drop down into the silence, contemplate with open hearts the idea of being a hero on our life's journey in the silence. So as we prepare to come forth from this meditation and come back into our lives and move forward into this week, let us affirm a statement that is potent for our bodies, our minds, our spirits. We can say it three times. First, for our humanness, our bodies. Second, for our consciousness, our mind. And third time, for our whole being, for the spirit that is love and possibility in every part of ourselves, body, mind, and spirit. So the statement is, great things are happening in my life right now. Will you join me in affirming that first for our bodies, then for our minds, then for our spirit, together? Great things are happening in my life right now. And for our minds, great things are happening in my life right now and seal it the third time. Great things are happening in my life right now. This is the truth. We thank you, God. And so it is.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.